Now, anyone who's ever dabbled in a bit of gardening will know that it can be an expensive hobby. So joining me in studio with some money-saving tips is garden designer and author of Dream Gardens, Leonie Cornelius. Hi, Leonie.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good. Leonie, before we get to that, let's start with that news we heard this week about extinct species of plants. So apparently over 500 species of plants have disappeared in the last 250 years. That's twice the numbers of birds, mammals and amphibians recorded as extinct. So what does this mean to the ordinary person? Is there anything we can do about this?
Well, I mean, it's a very alarming news study, and it was incredible to see. You know, I think it's a wake-up call for us all, particularly with the rates of plants that are becoming extinct, some of Irish species as well.
And what are the Irish species?
So, there, for example, there's a huge amount of Irish ones, like sea stock, for example. Interestingly, the National Botanics website has a huge list of all the ones that are extinct or becoming extinct, etc. So it's really interesting to read up about it. And I think it's a lot to do with change of land, human interference. It's very alarming. And I think in the light of the whole sustainability issue, and we're talking about pollinators and bees, it's been very much in the news. We need to change how we treat gardens, how we eat, you know, and do it sustainably.
And is this about, I know there's this trend now for letting your garden go like a meadow. Is that what we should all be doing?
Well, we should certainly be embracing the wild. I think that's definitely something really important. There's a huge amount that we can do. We can be planting a lot more than we can, even in small spaces. We can be doing composting and all sorts of things, so...
Okay. Would I know any of the plants that have become extinct, or do most people remember any of these plants?
A lot of them are very kind of wild Irish native plants that, you know, you would see very rarely anyway. So I think it's something about how we treat our natural landscape and trying to have diversity in the gardens. So not planting monocultures. And I think that's something that's wrong with our world in general. You know, we're talking about papayas that come in 8,000 kilometres from Brazil and we're picking them up for $1.99 in a supermarket. I mean, there's a big imbalance in how we're eating and how we're living.
Yeah, you got to wonder about that. I like how they can get a bunch of bananas for sale for 99p in a shop or less sometimes, and people, get them from the other side of the world and the weight of them and everything.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
And people are willing to buy local produce. It's all about buying seasonal, buying local, buying organic and supporting what's in season.
Now, budget gardening. So I suppose what happens to people is they get a rush of blood, often this time of the year, off out to the garden centre, full of beans and full of good intentions. They're going to get to grips with it this year. And they come out of there having spent a small fortune. So you're going to tell us ways that we could maybe shop a bit smarter. The first one, and it's the key to everything really, isn't it, is plan ahead. So you should actually plan your garden.
Absolutely. Like with anything in life, the best laid plans. So plan ahead. Think about what you want to achieve, what you want your garden to do for you. And it doesn't need to cost a huge amount of money. I mean, even if you do bring experts in like a garden designer, a lot of people are doing packages that are just, you know, spending a day looking at what you need. But it doesn't need to be that. You can chat to your neighbours. You can talk to people who you know have a lot of plant knowledge, people you know, your friends. Go into garden centres, talk to people there. You know,
should you endeavour to have some kind of a picture, though, yourself of layout and stuff before you go anywhere?
Yeah, I think books and online are great resource. There's a lot of websites out there. There's a lot of really good books that can guide you through, you know, how you want your garden to work for you. So how you want to experience your garden and then having that plan. And when you have the plan in place, you can take it in steps from there on.
OK, so we have the plan then. How can we start some planting without spending a fortune?
Well, there's loads of different ways you can divide and multiply, create many plants from one. So one is obviously dividing plants. So for an example, irises are amazing. One of the first irises I ever got was from a late neighbour of mine, Brendan. And he literally took a spade, chopped them in half and gave me half of the bunch of irises. And they're all over my garden now. So they cost nothing. They were just a gift. So you can do the same thing for other
people. And no particular skills needed for dividing plants.
These are a complete no-brainer. So generally the rule is do it the opposite time when they flower. So if it's, you know, autumn, it's spring, etc.
Okay. And then tell me about cuttings. You hear people talking about cuttings. And of course, I don't know if people still do it. People would, if they were calling around to somebody, they'd often bring a cutting with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was given one recently, actually, by the place where I bring my dog, the kennels. So it's so easy. You just cut off a little bit of the branch and make sure you have a little bit of the woody part of the stem, because that's where you'll get the roots.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you just cut it off. So you have a little bit just below the node. So you have a little bit of where the leaf comes out. So that's where it'll root then.
And what kind of plants are good to take cuttings of?
So some are better than others. There's, for example, willows are fantastic. They root very easily. So you just stick them in a vase, a little bit of water. Fantastic. Witch hazels, I love doing them because they just come up so easily.
And in terms of investment then, obviously there's some plants that you can plant and they'll be there forever. What are we looking at for a good long-term investment plan?
So there's some plants that are no-brainers. I suppose in shady areas you need different ones than sunlight. In shades, I'm a huge fan of ferns. So any garden centre you'll go into have loads of different ferns.
Are ferns not quite expensive?
They're not if you buy small ones. And they do grow fairly fast. Once you plant them, they're a great way to bring a bit of light to a shady corner. And they're just easy. So once you do make that little investment, you can just leave them be. Leave them alone and they're fantastic.
Okay.
For sunlight, I love the Libertias. They're evergreen plants. They're the New Zealand irises. And they're so easy. I have them all over my garden as well. And I do nothing with them. They just grow into a shrub. Beautiful white flowers. Really beautiful. And then one thing I will say is if you're going to plant one thing, it's trees. So, you know, invest in even a small tree like a birch will grow up fast. And, you know, you'll have those stems and a bit of foliage. And even if you have nothing else in the garden, I think trees
get a tree.
Fantastic.
Now, obviously, for the kind of a lot of amateur gardeners out there prefer to get something that's kind of half cooked already and that looks good straight when it goes into the ground. But a little bit of patience obviously is going to save you a lot of money. So actually getting seeds and being willing to wait presumably saves big money.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, planting seeds is such a great way to get to know a plant from the very beginnings to the end. So if you're planting with kids, for example, it's a fantastic way of, you know, watching the seed go on the ground, watering it, seeing the little sprout come out. And if you're planting things like edibles, like nasturtiums or borage or anything like that, kids love that. They love to see what goes onto the table and they love, you know, adding the little flowers to the salads. And it's amazing they actually eat it then too because they've grown it. So the excitement of seeing something grow and is really great. So like I mentioned, borage, nasturtiums, a great one to sow that you never have to kind of think about again is lady's mantle. Again, great to sow from seed and it keeps dividing itself across the garden.
And poppies?
Poppies, fantastic. I think every garden should have a poppy. And again, they're so easy. The little seeds, you know, just in the ground, water, and they pop up and then they keep flowering.
Okay. And then do you harvest your poppy for seeds then when it grows? Is that right?
You can. And that's the great thing about poppies. They do have the tendency to spread. So to stop them spreading, you can take the little seed heads off. But when they do develop, they become brown and you can just rattle them and you can hear the little in them. And then, you know, the seeds are ready to harvest. You just pour them out in your hand and you have new plants.
Tell me about Granny's Bonnet.
So the Aquilegia, it's a really kind of old cottage style garden plant. And they're the same as well as the little seed heads kind of go brown and you know they're ready when they're brown and they're rustling. And it's just great because you can harvest them, you can give them as gifts and they're completely free.
Now, if people do no gardening whatsoever, they will have one kind of plant in their garden, which is weeds. Mm-hmm. And you say you can tackle weeds in a very cost-effective and time-effective manner.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, but one great thing is planting plants which have a tendency to spread. So you've got plants like Nepeta, the catmint. So you've probably heard of it. Cats love them. And there's smaller varieties like the Walker's Low or Six Hills Giant, which is obviously giant. And they sort of have a tendency to flop. So they spread on the ground a little bit. They suppress weeds. And then you have evergreen options, which, again, are, you know, kind of they creep around and they cover ground and they're fantastic. The vincas. So vinca minor for the smaller garden and major for the larger garden. They're very great, simple additions that suppress weeds.
And it's as simple as that they cover up the whole ground so the weeds have nowhere to grow.
Well, the vincas certainly do. The vincas have a great tendency because they're evergreen. Very little grows beneath them.
Now, in terms of, you mentioned composting earlier and obviously a great way to improve your soil. Tell us about composting.
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing about soil, when you're talking about soil, is go organic. I think you've got a really great sustainable ecosystem right there. So if you're adding compost to it, it's a great way to add nutrients, and making it yourself is fantastic. There's also the option of adding green manure. I don't know if you've heard of the green manure. It's plants which add nitrogen and nutrients to the soil as well, which you can plant up to cover ground. So that's another weed suppressant that you can have.
Okay, and for people who might not be so familiar with how to compost or anything else like that, is it easy? Can anyone do it?
It is easy. I mean, it's literally you're layering the compost, you're adding some leaves, you're making it within one of the barrels, preferably if you have it, or you can make your own compost heaps. It's a tricky one because for some people, they have the space, they have the, you know, the ground to do it. For urban, smaller spaces, it might not be quite as easy. But there's still, you know, super clever ways to reuse little items. So for example, you can use tea bags to add into your soil.
Right.
So, you know, literally instead of throwing them away, open them up, scatter them around your plants, and they just add to the soil.
Okay.
They increase the nutrient levels. So really easy. Citrus peels is another one. You can use citrus peels. They have a natural insecticide, so they're great for repelling pests. So you can.
And will you explain
add
to me,
them in?
Because I didn't know this about regrowing plants. You can take the base of like a vegetable or whatever. To explain that.
I know it's crazy. So you finish your lettuce or your onion or your fennel. You can literally put them in a bit of soil, water them, and they'll sprout a new plant.
Okay. And finally, I think upcycling is another way to save money in the garden. What kind of things can be reused?
So really, I mean, one person's junk pile is another person's gold mine. So if you think about all the stuff that lands in, you know, scaffolding and pallets, and, you know, I think it's a great way, if you take the scaffolding, take the pallets, it's all about how you finish it. So how to paint them, how to sand them. It takes a little bit of work, but there's so much free stuff out there in junkyards and, you know, salvage yards, that sort of thing. So get creative, you know, use paints to cover old pots, mosaics, stick pebbles, shells, just have fun really.
Okay, that's all fantastic and hugely educational for me, Leonie Cornelius, because I didn't know half those things. So thank you very much for that.